We'll be reading from Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22, 1 to 18. Our brother led us in a song earlier that said, "I surrender all." And I believe that would fit pretty good with Abraham. He had a great test here in this portion of scripture that we're going to read. A great test. When God had told him back earlier that he was going to begin a great nation, and here his only son, he was the sacrifice. Genesis 22, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Let us kneel together in prayer.
Certainly thankful for the prayer, Brother Robert, on our behalf, as well as you praying for the one that was speaking this morning. Trust that the Lord will be praised, would be the word, and lifted up through this time together. Sevilla Martin, the wife of the evangelist Walter Martin, became ill before he was to leave to preach. It was evident she could not go along, and he hesitated to leave her. Their young son heard their discussion and said, Daddy can go for these meetings. God will take care of you, Mother. So Walter went. When he arrived at his destination, he found out that his wife had recovered. And by the time her husband returned, Sevilla had written the song that's in our hymnal, 121 in the green hymnal. And her husband then wrote the tune to it. And the words say this: "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary, one, upon his breast. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, or all the way. He will care for you." And that all sounds really nice. And it sounds good. But will God really meet all my needs and your needs? Does God really care that much about you and about me that he'll take care of us? Do you really believe that this morning? And if we do, how do we know it's true? So the title this morning of the message is, "Will God Really Meet All Our Needs?" Here in Genesis 22, Abraham certainly believed this, that no matter what the test, God would take care of him and provide for him. Abraham faced an unbelievable test here. The word "tempt" there in the first verse really means test. Came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham. Verse 2 tells us that what the test was. He said, "Take your son, Abraham, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him to me." Now maybe we need to let that sink in a little bit. I think we know this story well, obviously, and it's one that's familiar in our minds, and maybe we just read over that and we think, well, yeah, that's part of the story. Maybe we need to let that sink in a little bit, that Abraham was to offer as a sacrifice, as a burnt offering, his only son, whom he loved. And I don't think Abraham loved his children or his son any less than we love ours. I have 4 sons. I can't imagine being asked to sacrifice one on an altar. Not to mention, Isaac was the son that God had promised Abraham, through whom God would multiply Abraham's seed. This was a monumental test for Abraham. I wonder what all transpired between verse 2 and verse 3. How much did Abraham struggle with this? You know, I think if it was me, I would have said, "Did you really mean that, God? Did I miss something? You couldn't have meant that. That's not the way you are." God, you want me to sacrifice my only son, whom I love? Well, somehow, Abraham was able to get to the point where he was, where verse 3 says, and he rose up early, and he took his 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went on to the place of which God had told him. And even before he knew what would happen, Abraham was able to obey God and trust him. And it's evident that Abraham had a confidence in God that he was able to provide. We see this as we go through the account here in Genesis 22. You see, when Abraham was able to see the mountains in the distance that God wanted him to offer the sacrifice on, Abraham left the 2 other men and he went on alone with Isaac. And notice what he tells the 2 men in verse 5. He says, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." He didn't say, "I'll come again." He was implying that they both would return. Now, how could Abraham say this when he was on his way to sacrifice Isaac? I believe there's two possibilities, and both of them have to do with Abraham having a confidence in the provision of God. First, in Hebrews 11 and 17 and 19, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried," or when he was tested, "offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called," accounting or concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. It means that Abraham was so confident in the truthfulness of God that God would keep his promise concerning Isaac, even if it meant raising him from the dead after he offered him as a sacrifice. That's confidence. The end of verse 19 there in Hebrews 11 says, "from whence also he received him in a figure." It simply means that even though Abraham, as we know the end of the story, even though Abraham didn't have to literally sacrifice Isaac, because of Abraham's willingness and his faith in God and faith in God's ability to provide, it was as if the sacrifice was really made and he received him back from the dead. The second possibility for Abraham being able to say that both he and Isaac would return from worshiping on the mountain, I believe we find in verses 6 through 8. And I'm just going to reread them again just to get our thoughts there where we're at. "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here am I, my son.' And he said, 'Behold the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering.' So they went both of them together." God will provide himself a lamb. Abraham believed because of God's truthfulness and his ability to provide, he would provide a substitute for Isaac. What a prophetic statement he made. I doubt whether Abraham grasped the significance here of what he said. Think about it. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Yes, God did indeed provide a substitute for Isaac. We find that in verses 9 through 12. "And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood." He put him on the altar. He bound him and laid him on there. "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and he took the knife to slay his son." And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou any harm or anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." I don't think there was any way that God would have allowed that arm to move after Abraham raised it. There was no way it was going to come down. You see, God provided a substitute for Isaac, but you know what? As prophetic as that statement was, and I don't know that Abraham realized it, but God also provided a substitute for us. For us, he provided himself in the form of his son as a lamb to take our place, so we don't have to pay for our own sin. God provided a substitute. A substitute ram, so that Abraham didn't have to slay his only begotten son. But then God allowed his only begotten son to be slain so that we can live. Amazing. Does God really care about us? Yes. Will he meet our every need? Yes. Why? Because God, the great provider, has already provided for us himself a lamb. Himself a lamb. You know, that truth alone ought to cause us to praise God, as Brother Ken was saying this morning. That truth alone
and to cause us to bubble up and just to overflow with praise. Because God himself provided a lamb for me, the great provider, and ought to cause us to say, hallelujah, praise the lamb. I like the way the songwriter emphasizes this point. He wrote this, he said, up to the cross they carried him with all our guilt and all our sin. The Lamb of God was slain for our transgressions. Then on the cross, those nail-pierced hands reached up to God and down to man. And just as if I'd never sinned, he took me in his arms and lovingly, embracing me, he willingly forgave. For mercy, grace, and love that knows no bounds. Do you believe that this morning? Mercy, grace, and love that is not bounded by anything. It knows no bounds. It can reach to the furthest person, as low as they may be. Though guilty and condemned, I now am free. Forever I'm forgiven, for Christ the Lord is risen, and risen with him we shall one day be. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings his praise again. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Kind of gets me a little excited. God has already provided for our greatest need by providing himself a lamb, Jesus Christ. And through Christ, God promises to meet all of our needs. We find that in Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to what? His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Because he's provided a lamb in Christ, now all our needs can be met through Christ. Abraham had confidence. He had faith in God as the great provider. And after God's gracious provision of the ram as a substitute for Isaac, verse 14 there of Genesis 22 says, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh is one of the names for God in the Old Testament. And it means the Lord will see or the Lord will provide. The Lord will see or the Lord will provide. Abraham found that out firsthand. He experienced it. He said, you know what? This place is going to be called Jehovah Jireh. Does God really care about us? You bet. We say sometimes, not that I bet. Yes, indeed. Will God really meet all our needs? Yes. Why? Because it's part of who he is. It's part of his nature. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees, the Lord who will provide. How do we know God cares about us and will meet all our needs? God has already provided for us through Christ, promises to keep doing so. And it's part of his nature. He is Jehovah Jireh. So how can I own this truth? That God cares about me. He'll meet all my needs. How can you? And I don't mean just speak it. It's easy for us to say, well, yeah, God cares about you. It's easy for us to say, God cares about me. And God's going to provide all your needs. It's easy to say that. How can we own it, as we say, or have it in our own heart, personally, knowing that that is true? First of all, I believe we need to realize our need to surrender completely all of our life to God. Abraham did this when he received the test from God to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. Now, this is all about surrendering to God our will, our minds, our bodies, and even our own lives, because we truly believe that he knows what is best for me. Abraham had to be in that state. He had to surrender all in order to say, yep, you know what, I'm going to take Isaac just like you said. I'm going to take him to sacrifice him. There was a college student who had not read his assigned reading and had failed to study for an economics exam. A lot of times we can tell when students fail to study. It shows up. The end results. Well, this young man went to the examination room and puzzled over the questions for a little, and then he wrote, "Only God knows the answers to these questions. Merry Christmas." But you see, the professor got one back, was a little bit better. He graded the papers and he wrote this note: "God gets 100, you get a 0. Happy New Year." Now that's humorous, but think about something. That's so true about each of our lives. God knows all the answers. He knows all the answers. He knows what we're experiencing. He cares about us. Yes, he wants to meet all the needs. He already knows all the answers, even though we don't. He's just waiting to allow, for us to allow him to meet the needs. Guillemots are medium-sized Arctic birds that live on rocky cliffs on northern coastal regions of Europe and Alaska. They flock by the thousands in relatively small areas, and hundreds of females lay their eggs side by side in crevices. And these pear-shaped eggs look nearly the same, yet somehow each mother can tell which of the hundreds of eggs are hers. Which one is hers? Can you imagine that? She knows her eggs so well that even when one is moved, she identifies it and moves it to its original location. Now, just as God, the Creator, instilled that ability within the guillemot, he has no problem identifying my big needs and my little needs and your big needs and little needs. And he doesn't get them mixed up. Even though we're just one of over 6 billion people, can you imagine that? He doesn't get mixed up and confused. Well, now, I think Dwayne had a problem, but I just can't remember because I know Brother Nell has an issue and I got to deal with his, but I can't remember Dwayne's. That don't happen to God. He knows all about our dilemmas. He knows all about our sicknesses. He knows all about our troubles and the decisions to be made, and he knows what is best, and he wants to provide for our needs. He's Jehovah Jireh. And to own the truth that God really cares about us and he'll meet all our needs, we need to realize the need to surrender completely to God all of our lives. I was amazed when Brother Derek chose that hymn this morning. God is amazing. Well, secondly, we need to realize our need to obey God so he can work fully in our lives. You know, Abraham's obedience opened the door for God's provision. Look at, again, back to chapter 22. Beginning at verse 15, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. Said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, because you obeyed, you did this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." See, Abraham had to go through all the steps of obedience. God could have told him before he went to the mount. He could have said, "All right, I see you're at least on the journey, so I guess you would sacrifice your son. You can stop. I'm going to provide a substitute. You can leave your son behind. I got the ram waiting." He didn't do that, did he? Abraham had to go through all the steps of obedience. He had to get there. He put Isaac on the altar. He bound him. He raised his hand with the knife. God said, "Okay, that's far enough. You've obeyed. Now I provide. Here's the provision. Go get it." Like Abraham, God wants us to obey even when we don't know all the information we think we need to. And sometimes, I personally kind of like to know the ending. I'm not real good with this, not knowing what things are going to happen. Don't really like a lot of surprises. I guess good surprises are nice. But kind of like to know what's going to happen, how it's going to play out. That's the opposite of faith, isn't it? To regard it sometimes. God wants us to obey when we don't know all the information that we think we need to. And before we know how everything's going to play out or work out, it just says, obey me. God will meet our needs when we trust and obey. Realize that we need to completely surrender our lives to God. Realize we need to obey Him so He can work fully in our lives. And then thirdly, if we're going to own this truth that God cares for me, it's going to be mine personally, and He will provide all my needs, then I believe we need to realize our need to patiently trust God. Now, this I mean that we need to allow God to meet our needs and provide for us in His time and His way. You see, at times we're tempted to try and speed up the process. God, I think if I did this, we could get to where we want to go here, so why don't I just do it? We're tempted to speed up the process and to do it our own way instead of patiently trusting God. You know, Abraham had done that previously with Hagar. He tried to speed up the process of a promised son. Caused some problems, didn't it? But here, Genesis 22, he learned to patiently wait for God and trust Him. Now, someone has said that God will always provide, it just might look different than what we had in mind. I believe that's true. God will always provide. It just might look different than what I had in mind. Patrick Morley said this. He said, when we don't need to depend on Christ, we will not. I want you to think about this. I think you got to think about what he's saying. Think about this, if this is real in your life or in my life. When we don't need to depend on Christ, we will not. Because our natural tendency is depend on self, not Christ. I believe that's accurate, because that's why it's so necessary that we get to a point where I say, look, I can't save myself. I need some help, and I can only depend on Christ to do it. It doesn't matter how much I do. I can only depend on Him. It's only because of Him. We need to reach that point, because if we don't, we won't depend on Him. He says, depending on Christ is an act of the will by faith, not the natural disposition of our heart. He goes on to say this, think about this if we're willing to pray this. He said, I have prayed that God will always keep some major unmet need in my life so that I will always depend upon Him. To be really in need, he says, like the widow in 1 Timothy 5:5, creates dependency. It's true. To have so much creates self-sufficiency. And I believe that we're in danger of that often, this self-sufficiency, because we have so much. When our lives prosper, the natural tendency is to lose our grip. We need to learn to patiently trust God and to beware of becoming self-sufficient. God does really care about us, and He will provide all of our needs. Yes, it's true. We need to do more than say it. We need to own it. Claim this truth by realizing our need to surrender completely all of our life to God. realizing our need to obey him so he can work fully in our lives, and then realizing our need to patiently trust God. God will provide all our needs. It's part of his nature. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees, the Lord who provides. But you know what? We still will experience difficult circumstances, pain and hurt and loss of loved ones and calamities. Even though God promises to provide all our needs, we'll still experience those kind of things. But like the psalmist David, we can have confidence that God cares for us and he'll provide. How do I know that? Because David wrote it. Psalm 57, verses 1 to 3 says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee." He said, "I trust you, God. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." He was in the midst of a calamity. He said, "I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me." Yes, he said, God performs all things for me. Well, here he was in the middle of a calamity. "He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." Sometimes, and you know, it's what we really need the most, his provision is just grace. Grace. To bear the burden, to bear the hurt, to get through the calamity. He's the great provider. We can trust him because he's Jehovah Jireh. He'll provide for all our needs. I want you to listen to these words that someone penned. "Every day I wake to find that God's been faithful." That's a good thought to have when we wake up. Think about that. You know, it's not, I got to get up. I'm a night person. I'm up late. I'm a night person. I don't like the morning usually. I'm not really a morning person. "Every day I wake to find that God's been faithful. In all the ways I knew that he would be. And I don't know how some people live without him, because I know what Jesus means to me. I can trust him. I can trust him. For my God's at work in all things that I need. He is able and he's unchanging. He's the hope that still surrounds me faithfully. I can trust him. No storm he cannot weather. No sin he can't undo. No sickness he can't conquer. No mountain he can't move. Because he's able and he's unchanging. He's the hope that still surrounds me faithfully. I and you can trust him. He's Jehovah Jireh."
Praise God for the message. I would just like to point out one thing. In verse 8 of our scripture, Abraham told his son, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering." Now, I'm not an English scholar, but God did not say God himself will provide a lamb. He said God provide himself a lamb. In other words, what God was saying is God the Son, was going to be the sacrifice. Let's stand for prayer.